Blog Talk Radio.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies with angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hark, the herald angels sing.
Deeper truth. Today is Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. The feast of Christmas at Gracio, and my blog, Midnight Mass. Our Lady asked that we pray very much for the poor souls. Christmas is the day of the year when most souls are delivered from purgatory. There are more souls released from purgatory during consecration of the Mass than at any time. Christmas is the day of the year when most souls are delivered. Then the feast day of the Lord, and then Our Lady and the great saints. Lord God, who commanded us to honor our parents, have mercy on the souls of my father and mother. Forgive their sins and let me see them again one day in the joy of the eternal light. For Christ our Lord, amen. O Lord, you always take pleasure in pouring out your mercy and your graces. For this reason, I will never cease to ask you to look at the souls of those you called from this world. Do not leave them at the mercy of the enemy, and never forget them order your angels to take them and lead them to their heavenly home. They hoped in you. They believed in you. Do not let them suffer from the pains of purgatory, but let them enjoy eternal joy. For Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, for the deadly agony you suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, for the bitter sorrows that you suffered during the flagellation and the crowning of thorns, along the ascent to Mount Calvary during your cross and death, have mercy on the souls of purgatory, and in particularly of those of the most forgotten souls. Free them from their torment, call them to you, and welcome them into your arms in paradise. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, and those in my own home and within my family. Amen. And this is joy to the world. And today the church celebrates the Christmas at Gracio. At that first Christmas creche at Gracio, St. Francis wanted to show everyone there how close God was to them, how humble God is, how like a child is God, who loves us unconditionally. God is not removed in some faraway mystical place. God is with us, and we can love him with affection and overflowing love, as God has first loved us and continues to love us. For St. Francis, a personal love of Jesus is the heart of Christian spirituality. And he himself was in constant conversation with Jesus. Well, in the blog, you can see the cave where St. Francis of Assisi staged the first ever nativity scene on Christmas Eve in 1223. What better way to prepare for the arrival of the Christ child than to take a brief journey to Greccio, the spot in central Italy where St. Francis of Assisi created the first Christmas crib in the year 1223. Francis, recalling a visit he had made years before to Bethlehem, resolved to create the manger he had seen there. The ideal spot was a cave in nearby Greccio. He would find a baby, were not for if it was a live infant or the carved image of a baby, hay upon which to lay him, an ox and an ass, to stand beside the manger. Word went out to the people of the town, and the appointed time, they arrived carrying torches and candles. One of the friars began celebrating Mass. Francis himself gave the sermon. His biographer, Thomas of Celano, recalls that Francis stood before the manger, overcome with love and filled with a wonderful happiness. For Francis, the simple celebration was meant to recall the hardships Jesus suffered even as an infant, a Savior who chose to become poor for our sake, a truly human Jesus. Tonight, as we pray around the Christmas cribs in our homes, we welcome into our hearts that same Savior. St. Bonaventure tells the story of Francis that Christmas Eve in Greccio in his Life of St. Francis. He said, "It happened in the third year before his death that in order to excite the inhabitants of Greccio to commemorate the nativity of the infant Jesus with great devotion, St. Francis determined to keep it with all possible solemnity, and lest he should be accused of lightness of novelty, he asked and obtained the permission of the sovereign pontiff. Christmas time in 1223, 3 years before he died, he came there wanting to celebrate Christmas in a new way, a midnight mass, with a real ox and donkey, and with townspeople gathered around witnessing this live Christmas creech. Then he prepared a manger and brought hay and an ox and an ass to the place appointed. The brethren were summoned. The people ran together. The forest resounded with their voices, and that venerable night was made glorious by many and brilliant lights, the Psalms of Praise. The man of God, St. Francis, stood before the manger, full of devotion and piety, bathed in tears, and radiant with joy. The Holy Gospel was chanted by Francis, the Levite of Christ. Then he preached to the people around the nativity of the poor king, and being unable to utter his name for the tenderness of his love, he called him the Babe of Bethlehem. A certain valiant and ferocious soldier, Master John of Greccio, who for the love of Christ had left the warfare of this world and became a dear friend of this holy man, affirmed that he beheld an infant so marvelous sleeping in the manger, whom the blessed Father Francis embraced with both his arms as if he would awake him from sleep. Christmas was the dearest of faith because it revealed the profound humility of God in choosing to become a little baby, helpless and in need of us, just as we were when we were newborn babies. Indeed, so thoroughly did the humility of the Incarnation and the charity of the Passion occupy his memory that he scarcely wanted to think of anything else. Jesus embraced both the humility of the Incarnation and the charity of the Passion because he came to love us by becoming one of us. Love was the reason for the Incarnation, and love is what Francis wanted to celebrate at Gracio by telling the people of the village and the surrounding countryside that he was going to celebrate Christmas by reenacting the first Christmas at midnight mass at the friary. For St. Francis, Christmas was linked inseparably to the Passion as well, because to become a human being means suffering and death, and there is already suffering in the Incarnation in God's becoming human, leaving behind the trappings of divinity, emptying himself, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Brother Thomas Aleno, in his Second Life of St. Francis, wrote, Francis used to observe with inexpressible eagerness, and above all other solemnities, the birth of the Christ child, the child Jesus, calling it the feast of feasts on which God, having become a little baby, hung upon human breasts. He would avidly kiss pictures of those infant limbs, and his compassion for the child overflowed his heart, making him stammer sweet words, even like a child. The name baby Jesus was for him honeycomb, sweet in the mouth. And St. Bonaventure says that St. Francis called Jesus the child of Bethlehem, aglow with overflowing love for him. And in speaking the word Bethlehem, his voice was more like the bleating of a sheep. His mouth was filled more with sweet affection than with words. And so, today the Catholic Church is remembering this first Christmas nativity scene of St. Francis, Christmas at Gracio. It's in Italy. And all over the world, traditions. We have a Christmas scene in our house, and I love it. And so, Christmas is here. And before Midnight Mass begins, there is a special proclamation that dramatically sets the stage for Jesus' birth. And so it has become customary to recite or sing, and it is beautiful when this is sung. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. when it is recited or sung. A special proclamation of the birth, Jesus' birth at Christmas Midnight Mass. The proclamation summarizes salvation history by placing Jesus' birth in the context of various historical events. The proclamation begins with the creation of the world and then gradually goes through many biblical events before it explains the Roman world into which Jesus was born. The text for this proclamation is from the Roman Martyrology, which is the Roman Rite's official catalog of liturgical dates and celebrations. The Church has used the Martyrology since at least the 4th century, and it has expanded every year to include new saints and feasts. And so, the 25th day of December, when ages beyond number had run their course from the creation of the world, when God in the beginning created heaven and earth and formed man in his own likeness, when century upon century had passed since the Almighty set his bow in the clouds after the great flood, as a sign of covenant and peace. In the 21st century, since Abraham, our father in faith, came out of Ur of the Chaldees. In the 13th century, since the people of Israel were led by Moses in the Exodus from Egypt, around the 1,000th year since David was anointed king. In the 65th week of the prophecy of Daniel, in the 194th Olympiad, in the year 752, since the foundation of the city of Rome, in the 42nd year of the reign of Caesar Octavian Augustus, the whole world being at peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God and Son of the eternal Father, desiring to consecrate the world by his most loving presence, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and when 9 months had passed since his conception, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judah, and was made man. And the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. The Midnight Mass is observed on Christmas Eve, which is an extremely popular festive custom. It includes the celebration of the Holy Communion, the Mass. Midnight Mass is the first liturgy of Christmas tide that begins at midnight. It is the celebration of Mass or service of worship in honor of the Nativity of Jesus. Pope Telephorus has been accredited with establishing the custom of Midnight Mass in Rome beginning in 125 AD. It is just a few more years, 129 AD, that he began instituting songs for this Mass about angels. It is probable that all this is true. St. Telephorus was not the first formerly to offer Midnight Mass. And in 440, Pope St. Sixtus III erected a small chapel with a manger at the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome. Because of the long-standing Christian belief that Christ was born at midnight, the Pope celebrated Mass at midnight that year, a custom which he continued year after year. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 states, on the first day of the week, which, by the way, is Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the morrow, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window. He sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer, and being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and embracing him said, "Do not be alarmed, for that his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the lad away alive and were not a little comforted. So they broke bread, the Eucharist. Midnight Mass became widely popular by the 12th century. The tradition was first initiated by tradition, a German woman, Egeria, who, during her pilgrimage to the Holy Land, noticed how in Bethlehem, the early Catholics of Jerusalem celebrated the Christmas mystery with a vigil during midnight. Midnight Mass is late, but it is ushering in the day of Christmas. This tradition would branch throughout the Christian world as the church would survive terrible persecutions. In AD 129, Pope Telephorus said that a song called Angel's Hymn should be sung at a Christmas service in Rome. This tradition would take off as the people developed a universal celebration of Christmas. Singing on Christmas Eve was symbolic of the shepherds who kept vigil over the flocks. When the angels announced the good news, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those of whom his favor rests. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. During this time, we also read the following words of St. Theophilus, AD 115 to 181. Catholic Bishop of Caesarea in Palestine. And he said we ought to celebrate the birthday of our Lord on whatsoever the 25th of December shall happen. The first advent of our Lord in the flesh occurred when he was born in Bethlehem on December 25th. a Wednesday while Augustus was in his 42nd year, which is 5,500 years from Adam. In the 2nd century, a massacre in the catacombs on December 25th was recorded as having occurred on the date of the Nativity. Shortly thereafter, in the 2nd century, St. Hippolytus, AD 170 to 240, wrote in passing that the birth of Christ occurred on December 25th. On Christmas Eve, 1997, after midnight mass, soldiers' chapel at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I was up near the front of the church talking with some of my friends. I began to feel eyes drilling holes in my back as I felt someone was watching me. It was a strong feeling, and I noticed two men looking on from the back pew at the back of the church. I ignored them as if they were not there as I continued to talk with my friends. After a few minutes, some of us began to walk down the aisle to leave when one of the two men stopped me and asked if I would speak with them. I didn't know them nor had I ever seen them before. They were civilians. They were not military. But I sat down in the pew in front of them to speak with them. They began asking me questions about the church. They were asking me about the Bible and church history, values and morals, and I began to answer their questions. After about an hour, the chaplain's assistants wanted to kick us out so they can go home. It was nearly 2:00 in the morning. They wanted to continue, so we met in the parking lot. This went on until 6:00 in the morning. I told them I needed to get home because my children would be getting up and ready for our family gift exchange. The two men asked if we could meet later in the day. I said yes, but when I was able to do so, I met them with them again for another 5 hours that afternoon. Because after the gift exchange, I mean, the kids were everywhere, you know, everything. It was a wondrous Christmas. I ended up speaking with them five days in a row for about 4 to 5 hours at a time. Finally, they had to catch a bus back to Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know how or why they picked me out of a crowd, nor why they were so interested in what I had to say. They asked me hundreds of questions. I later learned that they had been homosexual lovers and that they decided to go straight. I was informed that they had decided to return to the church. I also was informed that one of them had been diagnosed with AIDS and was accepting his responsibility for his actions. I was further informed that this same individual went to a Catholic charismatic prayer service in Atlanta, and members wanted to lay hands on him. He explained that he received warmth throughout his body. He has since tested negative on his HIV test. That's after having a positive test and a confirmation test 3 different times. The Catholic Church has no power to change or alter the natural law of God. We used to say, love the sinner but hate the sin. But now we are moving towards a direction that will ultimately clash as Christian values continue to be swept under the rug. What a Christmas miracle that I was able to participate and witness. This story shows that God can change the condition of anyone who chooses to follow his voice as opposed to others who are false prophets of today, who are spreading the wrong message. Christmas is a time for miracles. May more young people develop the eyes of faith so that they can truly see. And midnight mass is important in ushering in Christmas around the world. And so, Merry Christmas. Christmas has come with Christmas Eve. Joy to the world. The Savior has come. Today, Merry Christmas. Christmas has arrived. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And midnight Mass today, many places it'll be this afternoon or tonight. So, but if you can go to midnight Mass, keep the tradition alive. God bless. Good day.